Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Welcome to the show.
Is this super loud?
That was a little loud, yeah. This week we're reviewing...
Sorry about that, everyone. Just...
Black Sunday. This week we're reviewing Black Sunday. We will discuss the plot in five words or less. We'll give our first thoughts. And we'll go into a deeper spoiler analysis. But first, how are you?
I'm doing all right. The holidays hit a little differently because of something that's happened to my family. But, you know, we'll keep on trucking and hopefully things will get better.
Yeah, definitely.
Other than that, a highlight in my life right now is video games. So if you
want
to listen
playing?
To my other podcast where it... No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing Modern Warfare right now because I don't like Cold War. Sorry, everyone that listens to this. All three of you. I didn't mean to disappoint you, even though none of you play video games.
Yeah, well, I own a Switch. Yeah. So, you know. Nothing but clean fun on the Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, no, you're missing out. I mean, we were just talking about it, but there's a lot of, like, beautiful gems. You meet a lot of interesting people from mostly the United States, like 7 to 13-year-old kids saying the most vile shit you've ever heard of in your life. So you're missing out.
Glowing recommendation.
The youth of the future.
Yeah. Just a glowing recommendation on that game.
But I guess there's like a community. If you've ever played a Call of Duty game, you know the type of person that plays it.
Yeah.
And how overly upset they get about a video game. Just the most nonsensical shit. Like, oh, you know, there's other guns in the game. I'm like, it's a game. Sorry that this is how people play the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's my life right now.
So, the plot for Black Sunday. You want to hit us with five words or less?
Ooh, five words or less. This one's... I thought about this one for a second, and I've decided that the five words are... Don't rip off pointy masks. And
yeah.
I think that holds true for, like, anything in life. It is the most... This movie was so deep. There were so many things... Kind of like the English teacher where the author is like, no, this is just a straightforward story. And the English teacher is like, hold my beer because there's so much more to your story. No, there is.
Okay.
And this is one of those movies.
So you want to hit us with your first thoughts?
Yeah. I rather enjoyed this film. It was very, I feel like, film had already advanced past what this did, you know? We already had, like, bigger production budget films, and nobody was really doing that, like, teleplay version of movies anymore.
Right.
Does that make sense? It was very theatrically, like, you're in a watching a play.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying, though.
But it was very, 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 very stylistic, and you can... tell like the influence this guy had in like so many people, like holy shit. Like I read up on one and I was like, yeah, now I can't unsee this. Like Tim Burton, obviously, like this is one of his favorite movies of all time, and it's like you see the influence everywhere.
Yeah,
like it being a soundstage with like creepy trees and blah 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 blah. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Right, yeah.
And the gore, I think even for, like, today's standards, like, some of those scenes, I'm like, oh, shit, fuck. No. stop doing that. You know. Oh, I was going to say my other five words, I think we're going to be just run away from bats. Because yeah. Nothing good comes from fighting bats.
No, never.
Especially bats that are obviously on a string and being flung in front of your face while you smack the shit out of it. That's going to be one of the funniest. Like, there's a couple of moments in this movie that made me laugh out loud. Like, oh my God. Like him fight this, a character, one of our, I mean, who would you say the protagonist is? I guess, we should name the characters, right?
Yes. I don't have their names in front of me. Let's see.
It's also like, I think they're all Italian names, so.
Yeah, we should just struggle through them. We got, it's always fun.
Much like our movie last week.
Yeah. Just, an American production, we struggled with their names.
Light years better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a light years better movie, I would say.
Yeah, I would actually agree. I really like the movie too. I see what you're saying about it just being influenced. It's one of those movies that a lot of people were influenced by, like Tim Burton, any really like horror, gothic, any stylistic movie of the time, basically just, it feels like it influenced just that generations past after this movie got released, you know?
Right. Which, yeah.
Like from a cinematography level, from like a production level, like everything is just like on point. You know what I mean? And this is, I'm not like a, I was going to ask you, are you a Mario Bava fan at all? Or were you before this movie or? Mario.
I think his last name is Bava, right?
Bava. Oh, Bava.
Yeah. Bava. I kept saying Brava too. I mean, my entire life, I think I kept saying Brava.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you watch a movie once and you're like, oh shit, it's Bava. But it just sounds like you're mispronouncing something. It sounds like you're drinking something and water spilling out of your mouth. You're like, oh, hey, Bava. Like, I don't know. Sorry, Mario Bava. I know you're not alive anymore. I don't think.
But yeah, pour one out. Pour one out for Mario Bava.
Yeah. Oh, here you go. Ah, shit. Now I have to clean that up. I'll do it later. So...
Have you seen something from him before? Were you a fan of his before? Or?
I mean, I've seen, like, clips of his movies. I'll be honest. The only reason I get, like... I'll either watch, like, a review of his movie that goes into great detail. Because, like, the 60s and 70s are kind of a difficult time for me. I'm like a fanboy of the 80s. I love 80s horror movies. They're just like the perfect amount of like, nobody's taking it that serious. It's super campy and it's going to be a lot of fun. But I was surprised with this one. It's almost the same idea. It's just very stylistically like an old, like, I guess like 40s film almost sometimes. I was going to mention, I feel like if you're a fan of Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein, you might like this movie too.
Yeah.
Had such a similar vibe all the way around.
Yeah, I mean.
Especially with like the scares, it's like, well, it's kind of funny, but.
I guess for a modern standards, there's no big scares, right? I mean.
A healthy balance of. Nah. I mean, there's parts where it's like, ooh, that's creepy. By modern standards, I will say the guy that played, I guess his name is Igor. We haven't introduced the characters yet. Sorry, we're getting ahead of ourselves, right? So Barbara Steele, I think, is the only American actor aside from John Richardson, maybe, in this film.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Because I know they did film everything in English, but I think Mara decided. The Italian actor's accents were way too thick, so he had them dubbed over. So everything's ADR'd.
Yeah, that was one thing that was a little hard to get into, was the fact that the version was dubbed, not like in its natural language, you know?
They did film it in English. That's one of the trivia things. Like, it was completely filmed in English,
mm-hmm.
but the accents were so thick, they decided to redub it with American actors.
Yeah, Dubs are not my favorite. Yeah, dubs are just not my favorite. No. So they're hard to get into.
And it's one of those things, like, I get that most, like, super professional movies, like, everything's ADR'd, right? But if you're not good at it, it just looks like a really bad dub of a foreign film. Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably be the thing that pulled me out of it, was just the dubbing, the voiceover. I love the look. I love the cinematography, the production design. Barbara Steele has a very iconic character. She plays, they call her a witch, but they also mention they're vampires as well in the early in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand that. I mean, she was for sure a witch, right?
Yeah.
And she was for sure in cahoots with Satan, I guess. I mean, that's never really fleshed out, but...
He could have been like a warlock or something. I wasn't sure about it.
Her goon, right?
Yeah, her goon.
Yeah, because Barbara Steele plays both the witch and the princess. Okay, so at the beginning of the film... you're introduced to this crazy, like, intro where a bunch of people are around locking down our antagonist, the witch, right? And I guess they've already, what's the word I'm looking for? They've already taken out her number one goon dude. And I thought that that's what he was going to look like because he had a big mask on. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's got a very, like... I don't know what to make of it. It's like very Middle Eastern slash like Eastern slash like Mexican style. Like these masks are very like,
yeah,
they're all over the place. And I kind of dug it. And they're going to kill her, right? How did they kill her?
They branded her a witch.
Alive, right?
They put the mask on her, right? And
hell yeah, dude, that's when I was like sold by like
the opening, yeah,
minute like five, yeah, like all these people, and there's like this one big executioner style guy who never appears in the movie again. Oh, I guess because it's centuries later, right?
Yeah.
And they put this like mask on, like same style mask like her goon is wearing, and you see on the other side that there are all these spikes, right? And there's like this slow motion like cuts in between like the mask going on a face, so you have the point of view of her, and then the other side, and then they do this like fucking badass. they put the mask on her, and they have the executioner grab like a sledgehammer type thing and just like smash her mask on her face. And I was like, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be real cool.
Yeah, definitely. And then it comes up with the huge, the mask of Satan, right? Is what it was called.
Yes, yeah.
That's a couple of different title names, but The Mask of Satan worked. I was thinking of the mask. It reminds me of Phantom of the Paradise.
Yes. With the, I actually just showed my partner Georgie that recently and she loved it.
Yeah. I was classic. Like,
I've never seen anything weirder and sexier.
Yeah. Then you gotta, she's into that, definitely show her the apple. That's another apple. In the same vein.
Oh, I've never seen that. The apple.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I told her, I was like, man, if you like Rocky Horror Show, and if you've ever seen Tommy.
Oh, yeah, Phantom of the Paradise. Just sit hand in hand with each other, yeah.
It's a very good in-between.
So, all right. Do you want to move this conversation to a deeper, spoilery analysis?
Sure. Well, actually, I just wanted to move on past. So, she gets buried alive, I guess. I was a little confused about where they buried her at the beginning, and then she ends up in like a crypt.
The narrator mentioned she was buried in the family plot because the brother is the one who murdered her, who sentenced her to death. And she gets buried in the crypt in the housing, you know, like the, I guess their family, they have crypts in underneath the ground or whatever. And I guess she was put there. And they refer to where her partner or whatever was buried. So I guess, so when the movie starts, those two guys, the doctor and the, I don't know, the main guy, the Constantine, he was, they're writing into that town or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
oh, real quick, I've got a new one. Don't bury witches in family. Assume that plots is after that.
Yeah.
Family.
There you go. But
yeah, so they're traveling, and what he convinces the coach driver guy to go take a shortcut through like a place that nobody wants to go to, and he's like, ah, what are you worried about? And he tosses him a coin, and the guy's like, huh, should I do this? So, something I do appreciate about this movie a lot is I'm not going to say the dialogue is very good, but there's very little of it.
Yeah.
There's like more moments of like people just like doing stuff or like reacting or whatever than anything else.
Right. Yeah. Just they ended up at the beginning, the end of the wheel falls off. Right. And so he has to repair the wheel, and then they decide, oh, look, there's a dark crypt there. Let me walk into it.
So- yeah. I know, yeah. Oh, let's just, we're bored, so might as well walk around this dark, foggy area and walk into this crypt and, oh shit, this might be the witch's grave. Should we open it? Like, what?
Yeah.
Let's just, oh wait, no. That's why I said, don't fight bats, because this dude gets attacked by a bat.
Okay, now... Not just a bat, the largest faking looking bat yes. I've ever seen in a movie. To
oh man, it was oh god, it was so good.
Yeah,
it was amazing. It looked like the rubber bats that you buy for Halloween, the ones that have like that string in the middle, and you put on like a finger and you can bounce it. That would have been a better option than whatever the hell this was. It was
well, this was
it was a bat.
This was a giant piñata with
yeah,
looked exactly. Like the material was just paper mache.
Oh my god, yes. Which like there's another moment of like I think that's like that, and it just makes you laugh really hard because everything else so far was really cool. It was like very graphic and like whoa, gross. And then there's this like flying bat.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And then he decides to, like, he fights this bat for what I would consider an uncomfortable amount of time.
It's I'll cinema honest, time, it's yeah.
Very, very slapsticky. He's, like, literally slapsticky. He grabs his cane and starts smacking the shit out of the bat. That's, like, clearly on a string bouncing up and down. He's, like, smacking it. And then he accidentally hits the grave that the witch is buried in, and it breaks open. And then that's how everything starts.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, they didn't have to rip the mask off the witch, but they did, which is why I said don't rip masks off dead people. Yeah.
Yeah. So, especially yeah. So
spiky boys.
It gets very, yeah, you're right. It gets very comical, but, you know, as the movie sets in and we establish the characters and, you know, how everything's going down, it ends up being a pretty, you know, effective movie. You know what I mean? I don't want to just like completely rag on it. I think there's a lot of cool stuff here, but I mean, there are a lot of things that are just easy to poke fun at now, you know?
Yeah, especially now. But I feel like you do have to give it, they were able to tell, I mean, it's not the perfect story. Like it's not the most well-written story I've ever heard, but I guess it's like the first of its time. Right. And they do that within like 127 minutes, something like that. So it's, I don't. At a certain point, it felt really fast, like everything just started happening, and then it was like very quick.
Right. Yeah. It's just one thing after the other. Yeah, it just moves at a good pace. Yeah, definitely. I think it's at like 87 minutes. So, you know, there's really no fat on this movie. It moves very fast. Is there anything else that caught your attention?
Well, I did read up the relationship between Barbara Steele and Mario Bava.
Ah, okay.
I feel like it's kind of a. It becomes a little more obvious, like when you watch the movie. I mean, she's doing a good job, but I guess like at a certain point, she didn't want. She only got the script on the day, for her like scenes and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I feel like if... You know what? She did a very good job of differentiating like what the witch was compared to what like this young woman is supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah, because she played both parts.
Like, our hero, the... Right, yeah. And I want one of the driving forces behind this movie, I guess, is she's supposed to want to take over her body, but that's never really addressed until the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I did like the parts where when you first get introduced to this character, the younger, the princess that Barbara Steele plays, it's right after they broke up in the crypt. They ripped off the mask, saw her face, and like, oh man, it's been centuries and she still looks pretty good.
And then yeah.
Barbara Steele shows up as like a young girl, like riding her horse by the cemetery. And there's something very off-putting about the way she talks. I'll be honest. She seems really like stern and steely.
Mm-hmm.
And then the assistant of the doctor, like our hero, what's his name again? It's like, I don't know, the younger dude is like basically having this like raging heart on for her the entire time, which is like weird. And then they start playing this like very obviously dramatically romantic music in the background.
Yeah.
Those moments took me out of the movie. I was like, what is this? And that's why I say, like, if you're a fan of Young Frankenstein, where they deliberately do that stuff, this is kind of funny sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what did you think of not the doctor, the priest? He had some killer hair, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Or was it just me?
I
it was comical how big his hair was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I wasn't sure what to take away from that character because he was just kind of there to like confirm stuff, and then that was the end of it.
Right. Like,
I guess he's the reason they burn her at the end, but
he's the one that uses the cross on the one of the bodies, the doctor's body in the beginning, who fought
right. Yeah,
and
because our doctor gets possessed or like overtaken.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean. Those moments also made me realize the big influence that this probably had on like Rob Zombie. If you've ever seen like any of his music videos or anything in general, he's very, very theatrical.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what was also very, very funny when we're talking about hair? So the witch's goon comes back first, right?
Yeah.
And he like comes up out of like wherever he's at, like some shallow grave, I guess, and he rips off his mask, and I was like, oh shit, here it comes. And he pops it off, and then cue me laughing hysterically because I was not expecting like what does he look
describe
like?
He looks him like
he looks like a caricature of, I guess, like a medieval knight, right? I guess that's supposed to be the idea. Which means he's got something that resembles like a short mullet with very short bangs and like a dark mustache. So he looks positively goofy.
Well, he looked like a character from Monty Python.
Yes, 100%, yes.
What yeah. is it? Holy Grail. He looked like somebody that may have just accidentally walked on set with the same look.
You know
look.
What? He kind of resembled the monks from... Holy Grail. Do you remember the monks?
Yeah.
Was it maybe I'm thinking of a different thing. Maybe the Princess Bride, the monk dude who was pale and... I don't know. I don't remember. But yeah, he looks goofy. He looks silly.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be like the main bad dude that's like destroying everyone. It's like, okay. And there's also this like... Okay, so there's a bunch of secret passageways in this like... mansion that the family lives in that they were blissfully unaware of for centuries, I guess. And they make it seem like this dude is actually just traveling through these things, right? These like passageways.
Yeah.
But when he picks up the doctor earlier, he appears through like the bog, and where did he get this carriage and the horses? I was a little confused about all that. I guess it was just a way for the characters to like travel through places, I guess.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. It's, I know it's based on a short story, but I'm not familiar with it. I know that he took a lot of inspiration from Dracula, and I think it had just come out. The first one of the first ones, Dracula, to come out.
Okay.
Bava took a lot of inspiration from that movie, I read. And you can see it. I mean, it's, there's a lot of like allusions to it. Yeah. So, but
yeah, you know, all in all, I will say, so when we do this podcast, we're on a Zoom call, and we talk about spooky stuff, and Rolando's door behind him just opened by itself, so it's definitely ghosts and not his cat or bunny.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not.
Mario Bava does not like our review.
He's back. He's, yeah. He's like, that's all you took from it?
I'm sorry. The movie was beautiful. I promise. Yeah. No, it's a very beautiful movie. I got to admit.
No, completely. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where you read the source material and then there's all these inspirations of things. And then say you only saw the inspirations and then you go back to the original source material and you see like, oh, I see what they did here. I see he's like, Bava's like inventing how a lot of these horror genre, gothic horror is going to be. So, not being raised on this movie first, you kind of, we see everything else, right? Like everything else it inspired. Right. So this movie does have that little hurdle, but I mean, just watching it now, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff to take from it and be inspired by.
Yeah, I 100% agree again. Yeah, I kind of okay. So the original title of this film is The Mask of Satan.
Badass did title.
Did you see that at the beginning of you saw it on Shudder, correct?
Yeah. Shot on Shudder.
Okay. So you saw that title pop up first?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think what that means is we are seeing the original cut of this film that got banned for like decades.
Mm-hmm.
And they just released a full version, maybe like in the 90s or something like that.
Yeah, I was, as soon as it started, I heard the dubbing. I was like, let me try to find a subtitled version. I looked around. I was like, no, this is kind of it. But I was overall happy with the quality. It didn't look bad. It looked good. I mean, whatever, if they did any restoration or if they did any, touches up on it, it looked impressive. It looked good.
It looked great. Yeah. It was it was a pretty movie. I did wear headphones while I watched the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to get more of like an immersed idea of like what the sound is supposed to sound like. And aside from the dubbing, the sound was just kind of bad.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of hissing and stuff, which kind of bothered me. But it's an old movie. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's better than most movies I see today. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty good. I mean, Black Sunday is still a pretty cool title. And it's got a very iconic cover.
Mm-hmm.
But I low-key kind of think they should have gone with the first reveal when she gets her mask ripped off. And she's got all those, like, they look like bug bites or bee stings. But it's like where all the holes of the spikes went through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was very cool. I don't know. Oh, and then the scene where she starts to get fleshed out, because again, you shouldn't fight bats, because this dude is like, oh look, a witch, and the glass is already broken, so he breaks it again and he cuts himself, doesn't realize, and his blood is what brings this witch back to life.
Yeah,
so also don't have blood cuts is my other five word review for this.
Yeah. I mean, that there was that cool scene where like they during that scene where they reveal her face, and it's just like a empty kind of skull with the, I think, scorpions or something, baby scorpions out of it.
Like coming out of her eyes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. Cool. Did you want to give any last thoughts here about Black Sunday?
You know, yeah, I think this is definitely worth a watch. I might watch it again. Just because I know what it is now. So, like, it was a lot of fun. And like you said, there's a lot to be inspired by this film. Like, it was obviously Mario Bava was, like, really putting his heart into what this was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I give it 6 out of 10 spooky bones.
Spooky bones. Is that our rating system now?
Yes. That way it's also sexual.
Yeah.
Sexy bones.
I got to think about how many sexy bones I want to give it. No, but similarly, yeah, I agree. I think it's, if you're a horror fan, then this is something you definitely got to check out without question. Just something to watch and just kind of keep it, you know, in the conversation, you know, of horror films. Definitely. And I think I'll give it 5 1/4 spooky bones, sexy bones.
Spooky, sexy bones.
Spooky, sexy bones. I fucked that up. All right. So next week, we're going to check out a little documentary about The Exorcist, a Shudder exclusive. It's going to be called Leap of Faith. So we can check that out.
So don't get confused and watch the 90s film with Steve Martin where he plays a traveling evangelical preacher who's lying. That is not the movie you want to see.
Or you think that's on Shudder?
I've seen this movie.
Is that on Shudder though?
It might be. I don't know. It's pretty spooky. He's lying. The whole Whoa. Movie.
Spoilers.
Oh no! He's. All right.
All right. Cool. And as always,
stay spooky.
All right. Bye.